Amen. What an honor it is to be here tonight. That's thank God for my family. It's my wife, Janelle, who I met here, by the way. We actually met right up in the balcony at a preaching conference here at First Baptist Church a little over 21 years ago, 22 years ago probably. And I'm glad I met my wife in church. Amen. How many think you might meet your wife this week in church? All right, a couple of you guys raising your hand. Amen. And then that's my wife, Janelle. Tour, by the way, with Hiles Anderson years ago, 95. And then my oldest girl, Briella. Where'd you go? You guys went back to your friends, I think. Briella's back there. Rihanna. And then Grant. And then Clara. And I thank God for my family. 24 years ago, I got saved. Because of God's goodness, I have this now. I have a wife and children and a church. Man, it's good to be saved tonight. I praise God for that. I'm honored and thrilled to have the first message of the conference, and we'll get into that in just a second, but I do want to just give you a brief part of my testimony. I don't preach real long, and I want to thank you, Brother Wilkerson and Brother Judah and all the other staff for allowing me to come and be a part of this, and I thank all the deaf people back there. I love the deaf ministry. Mom and Dad are deaf. My sister's deaf. My grandparents were deaf. My great-grandparents are deaf. My niece is deaf. We've got five generations of deafness in my family. We even had a deaf dog at one time growing up, so we have, and that's a true story. He knew more sign language than Brother Judah did, that's for sure, I'll tell you that. And a lot of good memories of that deaf dog. But by the way, it was a tragedy. He got hit by a car. He didn't hear the horn blowing. We got any animal lovers in here? Let's go ahead and find out where the animal lovers are at, okay? I love animals, too, right next to my mashed potatoes and green beans. Can I get an amen right there? All right. Sorry, I couldn't resist that, man. I couldn't resist that, but praise the Lord. I had a real successful football career, won some state championships, all-state, all-star, and got a scholarship to play some big-time college football. And God ended up saving me at 18 years old, and less than 2 months after I was saved, I come to Bible college, and less than 4 years after I'm saved, I'm pastoring a church. And people oftentimes say, man, Brother Randy gave up football to serve the Lord. Let me tell you something, I didn't give up anything to serve God. I gained everything. I dropped that piece of leather and picked up this piece of leather, and I've never been sorry. And I bless the Lord for that tonight. I praise the Lord for that. But I'm glad we got to give the deaf a little shout out, my parents being deaf. There's 350 million deaf people on the planet right now, and only 2% of them are saved. And so in this good-sized crowd, I pray that God will maybe call someone to the deaf, touch someone's heart about the deaf, or if anything, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'd send forth laborers. And there's a great need there, and so I praise the Lord that he let me be born in the deaf home. We just hosted the deaf conference that Brother Wilkerson, you all be hosting next year, Deaf Baptist Fellowship of America, and we had a great time there. Good to see Brother Shutt and Brother Cooper back there. Appreciate them so much. Let me find out who you are real quickly. Where's the public school kids at? I love public school kids. Where are you at, public school kids? Raise your hand over the building. Just real quick. All right, I thank God for you. I was born and raised, I was born at a hospital, grew up public school kid all my life. Never set foot in a Christian school until I was asked to preach in one. And so you got a whole special place in my heart. And my wife, on the other hand, is a Christian school kid all her life. Who are you Christian school kids in the building? Raise your hand. All right, many of you. Many of you. Wonderful, wonderful. And then there's that third crowd. We know who they are. Where's the homeschoolers at? Wow. You public school kids and Christian school kids, you know why the homeschoolers are shouting, right? Because they can start school whenever they want. They can take a snow day in May. They can have a feast at their desk while they're in school. And all four of my kids are homeschooled, so we have all three educations in my house, and we are a very confused family. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. But I know I've been privileged to meet many of you youth pastors out there and preach to many of you teenagers on the road, and I love you young people, and I thank God for you. And I'm going to be quick, try to get out of the way, let Brother Shirley come up here. Looking forward to Brother Shirley preaching. Good friend of mine. I love you, Brother Shirley. Praying for you. Looking forward to the message there. The theme is anchored. What a theme. I love it. In one word, you could just do a three-year series on just that one word. I mean, the Bible, God's heartbeat, God's theme is to be anchored. And before we get into that message tonight, I want you to recognize, and I want you to see what being anchored is all about. He doesn't know I'm going to do this, but he's in the building tonight. But there's a man in this building that has pastored his church, the same church, for almost 50 years. His name is Pastor Bill Clark. Would you stand up real quickly, Pastor Clark? I know you don't like this right over here. Pastor Bill Clark on my left right over here. Let's give this man a hand. Praise the Lord for that. I was going to preach his church in October, but I think I just got canceled because I did that. But But you just don't see that much anymore. Man, staying at the same church for 48 years, I believe, this coming December. And boy, I thank God for a man who's been in his church that long. And young people, that's what it's all about, being anchored. Tonight, though, I want to start with this simple thought. You can't be anchored unless you have the anchor. You have to have the anchor. You can have all the ships and boats you want. I've been to the Bahamas and preached many times, and I've seen these massive yachts owned by many millionaires and billionaires in America. I walked by them, and you know what all of them have? They have multiple anchors on there, just in case. Can you imagine being out in a storm, and we've seen this ocean behind us, and it's beautiful and calm right now, and that's how you like it. But many times in life, it gets wavy, it gets choppy, it gets tough, it gets stormy, and before long, you're in trouble. And if you don't have that anchor, you can be in real serious trouble. There's something about having that anchor that helps you be anchored to save you through the storms of life. And may I say to you today, one of the problems we have in our churches and our youth groups today is we can't even be anchored because we've never gotten the anchor to begin with. And tonight I want to preach on that thought. I'm going to let you stay seated tonight. It's a big crowd. I don't want us to get moving. And John chapter 3 verse 16 is a verse that never grows old to me. It's one of the most beautiful words ever penned in the Bible. And it says simply this: for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. My question tonight is simply this: before you can be anchored, do you have the anchor? Not an anchor, not some anchor, but the anchor. Because there's only one anchor tonight that you need and I need so that we might be anchored in life. And over the next 2 or 3 days, you're going to hear some great preaching from great men of God sitting in these rows right front row here. And I'm so thankful for these men and the influences many of them have had on my life as a younger man. And boy, I thank God we're going to hear on that theme in the Driftwood segment how powerful that was. But listen to me, it all starts right here, young people. You've got to have the anchor before you're anchored. The anchor. I'm talking about the anchor. When you say the, it makes something special out of it. It means there's no other anchor like it. It means there's no other anchor that compares. There's no other anchor that looks like it, that experience like it, that can change your life. There is one anchor tonight, and tonight my question to you is, do you have the anchor?
That's good.
Now tonight, to guide our thoughts, we're going to have just a little bit of fun. I'm going to make a statement tonight, and if it's true, and it applies to your life, I want you to stand up real quickly and sit down, okay? So I'm going to say, I am, and then fill in the blank. And when I say that, all over the building, you just stand up and sit right down. All right, first of all, I am 12 years old tonight. Go ahead, I am 12 years old. Look around real quickly. All right, you may be seated. Thank you very much. I am 13 years old. All right, very good. I am 16 years old. Wow, that's scary. These kids are qualified to drive. You need to pray for this country right now, amen. I am 18-year-old girl, lady, 18-year-old lady. Some of you guys stood up for that, okay? Don't worry, I think there's a session that's going to deal with that this week, amen? I am a Cubs fan. Were they here? All right. Oh. Hey, I didn't tell you to cheer. I just said stood up. See, that's Cubs' problem. They're just a bunch of rebels, amen? All right, how about this one? I am an athlete. I am an athlete. You think you are. You think you are. Hey, how about this one, by the way? Watch this now, and I know you're going to be gun-shy to do this, but go ahead and trust me on this. I am a proud nerd. Where's the nerds at tonight? If you're a nerd, stand up. All right. Brother Wilkerson, some of the athletes stood up for both athlete and nerd. By the way, athletes, all those people you just saw standing up, be nice to them. You're going to call them boss someday. But anyway. All right, here's some fun ones. I am a lover of pizza. Who loves pizza in the building tonight? All right. I am actually a lover of school. Who loves school tonight? Who loves school? All right, there's a few of you. There's a few of you abnormal people, amen. All right, here we go. Here's the fun one. I am good looking. I am ugly. I'll stand up on that one, all right? Very good. I am under 6 feet tall. No, seriously, I said stand up. Just kidding, all right. I'm over 6 feet tall. Yeah, right here. That's right, Brother Wilkerson. 6 feet tall, amen. I'm a Cavaliers fan. Hold on now. Now some of you are, who's a Lakers fan now? I'm a Lakers fan. I saw a really good tweet the other day. It said some of you Christians are criticizing LeBron for changing teams, but some of you change churches more than he changes teams. That's pretty good. That's pretty good right there. Hey, in honor of Brother Judah, because Tim Rule told me to do this, I'm a Packers fan. We got any Packers fans? The Dahl brothers. The Dahl brothers, man. All right, Brother Judah, in honor of you, I'm a Bears fan. All right, then I've got to give my team a shout out. I know we're in Indiana near Chicago, but I'm a diehard Florida Gators fan. I'm a Gators fan. Where are the Gators fans at? All right, good deal. Roll Tide. Ah, man, here we go. Now, I want you to listen to me, okay? I'm going somewhere with this. As I was making those statements, many of you those statements applied to, and some they did not. Some of you got confused for a second, almost stood up at an 18-year-old lady when you're not an 18-year-old lady. But watch me now. As I was saying different statements, I would not have been able to stand up for most of them because most of them did not apply to me. The age ones didn't apply to me. I didn't say 42 years old. I didn't say, you know, certain things that I would apply to. But I want you to understand something, young people. There's one statement that does not discriminate against anybody's age or anybody's gender or anybody's race or anybody's background or anybody's experience. And it's this beautiful statement. In fact, it's the three most beautiful words you can say right beside each other. And here it is. I am saved. I am saved. Stay with me tonight. I'm not going to be much longer after this. Stay with me now. I hope everybody that leaves in this building tonight says, I am saved before you go to bed tonight. You see, 24 years ago today, I woke up lost. But I went to bed 24 years ago saying those three beautiful words, I am saved. And last May, I got to preach in the very church and stand on the very spot. They brought me back for the church's 25th anniversary, and I got to preach there almost 24 years to the day that I got saved, and I stood on the spot where I got saved. And listen to me. Can I say to you tonight, before we go forward, before we have this incredible conference, before we hear all the incredible preaching and have the split sessions and have the fireworks show and go to the college and three-on-three tournaments and all that stuff, I hope everybody in this room tonight is able to say those three beautiful, powerful words, I am saved. I'm glad tonight I'm not going to say I'm a 14-year-old girl, and if I did, I'd be an ugly one, and you'd laugh at me and think I'm crazy. I'm glad that I'm not going to apply to certain things I just said a while ago, but I hope tonight that everybody in this building can agree with me and say those three words as sure as you're sitting in this building, as sure as you're gathered at First Baptist Church, as sure as you're here with your church and your youth group, as sure as you're breathing God's air, you know beyond the shadow of a doubt, you have the anchor, you have the salvation, you have the Jesus Christ, you have everything that we talk about and sing about and preach about, because you can look in the mirror tonight and say, glory to God, I am saved. Tonight I want to remind you what it's like to be saved. Tonight I want to say, first of all, just four quick statements. First of all, tonight I'm thankful I can say I am saved from the curse of mankind. I am saved from the curse of mankind. Can I say to you tonight that I was born in sin? I'm born in wickedness. I'm a filthy sinner. I deserve to go to a devil's hell. And boy, there's not a whole lot of preaching on hell anymore in America. But it's still a place that burns with fire. And it's still a place that burns forever. And it's still a place of judgment and condemnation. In John chapter 3 and verse number 18, the Bible says this: he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. My friend tonight, if you can't say those three beautiful words, if you're not sure that you've had that anchor, if you're not sure that Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, then you are under the condemnation. You are under the curse. You are on your way to that place called hell. And I say to you in love that I thank God I have been saved from the curse and condemnation of mankind. We live in a society today that has embraced sin and loves sin too much and brags on sin. But sin is what was going to take me to hell. Sin's what's going to take anybody to hell. Where sin is what condemns us. Sin is what busts up marriages. Sin is what busts up homes. And there's no hope for your sin. And there's no hope for my sin outside those beautiful three words. I am saved. I am saved from the condemnation and curse of mankind. Number two, I want to show this. I'm saved through the cross of Jesus Christ. Can I say to you tonight, nothing thrills me more than to preach on the cross of Jesus Christ. It still says in John chapter 19, I never get tired of this beautiful verse, but in John chapter 19, verses 16 through 17, or 18, it says, then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away, and he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place, the place called of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, and either side, one of Jesus in the midst. May I remind you tonight of Calvary. May I remind you tonight that 2,000 years ago, this anchor almost can see a cross right in the middle of it. You can see the cross that's represented there in the anchor. And many people today are religious people. Many people today are hoping they're going to go to heaven. Many people today are trusting in something that they're going to take them to heaven. Last Saturday morning, we took a few men, and my son went with me. We went and preached in the juvenile detention center and played basketball with him. And there was a Muslim in the room, and I preached to that Muslim in there. He was a Muslim teenager, and I told these guys that religion is something of the mind, but salvation is of God, and it speaks to the heart. And thank God that young Muslim man got saved last Saturday morning. And thank God three other teenage boys got saved. You know why? Because something separates true Christianity from all the religions of the world. You can take religions of the world and place them on one table, but Jesus Christ does not belong there because of two simple things, the crucifixion and the resurrection. May I remind you that Jesus Christ, warrior of my crown of thorns, he bore the cross for you and me. He shed his blood for you and me. His body was broken. He was pierced for you and me. He suffered like nobody ever suffered for you and me. He died so that you and me could live. He became sin who knew no sin. He suffered and suffered and suffered so that you and me could go to heaven someday. I am saved from the condemnation and curse. I am saved through the cross of Jesus Christ. I am saved through the cross of Jesus Christ. I hope you can say those three words tonight. I am saved. I am saved. Do you have the anchor tonight? In the balcony, do you have the anchor tonight? On the main floor, do you have the anchor tonight? Do you have it tonight? Two more statements and I'll be done. Number one, I said I'm saved from the condemnation and curse. Number two, I'm saved through the cross. Number three, I'm saved by the Christ. I'm saved by the Christ. The Christ. Now, don't mind me for just a while. I'm going to talk about Jesus for just a little while. Can I tell you something? Jesus Christ is the reason I'm saved. Jesus Christ is the reason I'm going to heaven. And it's still so beautiful to hear those precious words. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We're talking about the one that was virgin born. We're talking about the most promised for thousands of years. We're talking about the darling Son of God. We're talking about Jesus Christ, our Savior, our salvation. You see, I was 18 years old growing up in a home of deaf parents. My parents got saved when I was young, but there was no discipleship, not a whole lot happening in deaf churches in America. And so I was confused. I was sprinkled as a baby, baptized three times growing up. One time I even went to church, Brother Shirley. It was a big called Holy Ghost campaign. And I was a big-time football star. Then one of my teammates invited me, my brother Nick, to go there. And he's a pastor in Texas, by the way. And my brother and I went to this Holy Ghost campaign. And the preacher looked at us two young boys, and he knew us. He said, you two young men, come to the altar and get the Holy Ghost. So he came to the altar. He said, get on your knees. We got on our knees. And a 400-pound woman laid on top of us to get the Holy Ghost. I was afraid of the Holy Ghost for a long time after that experience. And I was lost. And I was still on my way to hell. And I'd been sprinkled. And I'd been baptized three times. And I got that Holy Ghost campaign. But I remember as a 16-year-old boy kneeling by my bedside, lost, confused, had all the football awards, had all the championship trophies, had all the rings, had newspaper interviews, radio interviews, articles, college football letters coming in every single day. My mom had boxes of letters from colleges all over America. Football was my passion, but I knelt by my bedside and said, God, there's got to be something more to life than this. I feel empty right here. And 2 years later, he heard that sinner's prayer. And can I tell you something? It wasn't some mystical religious experience. It was the Son of God who came to where I was, and Jesus Christ, he forgave me of my sin, and he baptized me in his blood, and he wrote my name. Praise the Lord. Hey, he wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I'm going to heaven someday. I've been saved by the Christ. I've been saved by the Savior. I've been saved by the Son of God. And tonight I give him praise. And tonight I give him glory. The Son of God and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's my anchor tonight. Hallelujah. He's my anchor tonight. We Americans are messed up tonight. You know what I've learned about Americans, Brother Wilkerson? We love people who can do things we can't do. You ready for this? I'm gonna give you examples. Here's a guy, 6'8", puts on silk pajamas, picks up a basketball, dunks it 10 feet high. We say, you're amazing, here's $20 million. Or here's another guy, 6'3", doesn't know how to chew on a mouthpiece. Yeah, I'm talking to you Steph Curry fans. Somebody help me right there. I wish he'd drive the paint sometime and get busted. Somebody say amen right there. These athletes are so amazing. I grew up watching Michael Jordan. You know what? He can't play no more. Here's another group. Bunch of guys get a bunch of tight pants and put them on. Shoulder pads. They deflate footballs. They deflate footballs. And they throw it all over a field. And we say, you're so amazing. Here's $20 million. And then here's my favorite of them all, Brother Shirley, Brother Judah. You are so good at being fake. You are the fakest person I've ever seen. You read that script so good, even though you're fake. Here's $20 million for being an actor or an actress. Tell me now. And these athletes come walking into these arenas, people's praise and clapping. Some of you, many teenagers, many young people, many people in America be more excited to meet LeBron James and to talk to Jesus this morning. We get so impressed by the Michael Jordans of this world. But look here, Michael Jordan can't play no more. His back's gone out. His knees are bad. The young guys come along. They dethrone him. But can I tell you something tonight? My anchor, he's never gotten tired. My anchor has never gotten sick. My anchor has never gotten weary. My anchor has never gotten nervous. In fact, my anchor created those athletes. My anchor's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. My anchor, he can walk on water. My anchor, he can create the stars. My anchor, he can raise the dead. My anchor could take a few fishes and hush puppies and feed the multitudes. My anchor could touch blind eyes and make them see. My anchor, he could part the Red Sea. My anchor could spit fire on Mount Carmel. My anchor, he could do all these things and kill a giant using a young teenage boy named David. That's my anchor. And most of all tonight, my anchor saved my soul. Hey, give Jesus a shout tonight. I've been saved by the Christ. I said, I've been saved by the Christ. He's Jesus Christ. He's mine. He's my Savior. He's my redemption. He forgave me. He justified me. He sanctified me. He glorified me. He made it so I'm going to heaven someday. Hey, thank God. I said, thank God. Hey, thank God I'm saved. Thank God I'm saved. It bothers me that we live in a day and age where we get more excited at ball games than we do in church. It bothers me that we shout because somebody made a three-pointer. We don't shout about the three-in-one God. It bothers me that I'll go see a ball game and people going crazy and I come to church and I see this. You say, why are you doing that so long? Some of you have been doing it for 20 minutes, so I'll be all right. Stay with me now. It bothers me. You heard about the Baptist church. A man had a heart attack. They pulled out four guys before they found the right man. Somebody say amen right there. We've lost our shout. The world is more excited about what the world has to offer than the church does. Hey, young people, your God is the God of this universe, the creator of everything. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it's time to say, bless God, I'm saved by the Christ, Jesus Christ, the one and only. I'm saved from the curse and condemnation. I'm saved through the cross. I'm saved by the Christ. And finally, number four, and I'm done. I'm saved to live the Christian life. John 10:10, I am come that they might receive life and life more abundantly. Jesus promised abundant life. He promised that he would give us a life of joy, a life of peace, a life of satisfaction. Let me tell you something, young people. Watch me real quick. I'm almost through. 24 years ago, football was my God. 24 years ago when I woke up, football was my passion. 24 years ago, I had my sight set on one thing, but thank God he saved me. And can I tell you something? He didn't just save me. By the way, salvation's not the end, it's the beginning. And I'm telling you, the Christian life is the best life you could ever live. I love being a Christian. I thank God I'm saved. I thank God I'm going to heaven someday. But I thank God for some things I missed out on. I thank God I don't have to have liquor and alcohol to have fun. I don't need drugs. I don't need immorality. I don't need Hollywood. I don't need that trash. You say, man, what a boring life. Follow me around for a week and you tell me if I got a boring life. I love my life. I said, I love my life. I love my wife. I love my children. I love my Bible. I love my food. I love my house. I love my church. I love my car. I love my Jesus. Hey, I'm talking about tonight. There's no life like the... There's no life like the Christian life. There's no life like the Christian life. Hey, the Christian life is the life to live. Bless God, I'm saved to be a Christian. Once you get that anchor, once you get that anchor right there. Oh, I thought it was solid. Sorry about that. Once you get that anchor, that's just the beginning. Brother Shirley leaned over to me on the platform. So what are we doing here? So he's right. Public school kids. We didn't even know. I didn't even know Independent Baptist existed until I was 18 years old. I got saved and said, where have these people been all my life? What planet did y'all fall off of? And I became one of you. Can I tell you something? There's no better life to live than the Christian life. The devil comes and tries to flash his bling in front of you for a little while. But his bling is worthless. You still faithful to Jesus. And all it does is get gooder and gooder. I am saved from the curse and condemnation. I am saved through the cross. I am saved by the Christ. And I am saved to live the Christian life.